Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. I'm quite sure that this episode will be magic because I have Vance Morris together with me. Hi, Vance. How are you?
I am fantastic, Greg. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for participating and thank you for accepting my invitation to have a discussion on the podcast. Why I use the word magic? Because we are going to discuss about the Disney magic lessons every business can use today, and I'm super thrilled to kick off this discussion together with you. As usual, before we deep dive into this topic, we would like to learn more about you. Vance, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure thing. So, as you mentioned, my name is Vance Morris. I live here in Maryland in the United States on the East Coast. I have a number of businesses, but before I get to that, I did work for the Disney Company for 10 years down in Orlando. Was on the design and operations team on a number of their attractions. So I have a lot of fond memories, a couple of nightmares, but mostly fond memories of my time down there. In 2007, I started my own business, which most people don't know about, but I actually own a carpet cleaning business here in Maryland. We also have an Oriental rug washing facility and a mold remediation company. And the reason I bring those up is that everything that you and I are going to talk about today, I have implemented in those businesses. So if you're thinking, Disney has roller coasters and theme parks, this doesn't apply to me. Well, I've managed to, it's not copying what Disney does, it's how do you adapt the strategies that Disney's using into your business? And so that's kind of where I get a little bit of my credibility, is that I'm not just talking about it, I'm actually doing it in a real business.
And I'm quite sure that, or I know that you're not doing that only in business and you are successful with your businesses, but you are also an international keynote speaker and. Could you please share us about this part of your career?
Oh, sure. So I thoroughly enjoy speaking. I more enjoy workshops. So I always cringe when I get invited to do a keynote speech. And I'm like, well, you have me for the whole day. Would you like to do like an executive session or a workshop with your employees? Or let's get a little bit more out of this. And then they say, no, we just want the keynote. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm a business person. So I will accept the fee graciously. But I really feel that, taking the time to, when you have somebody who has a depth of knowledge or a breadth of knowledge, and they're offering like to work with you, I would take it. But, I've worked with a number of different industries, everywhere from attorneys to home inspectors to bankers and dentists, everything in between. I thoroughly enjoy the topic, because I just know that it is so sorely missing in so many businesses. The customer experience is just an afterthought.
Thank you for bringing this Disney magic also in other industry. I am super keen to ask these questions. This question, which values drive your professional life?
Well, definitely the values are I walk the talk. I am doing what I say you should be doing. And I do that with marketing. I have a lot of marketing campaigns that I'll run in my home service businesses, and my coaching or consulting clients, I will tell them about them. I'll tell them how they did. I will, and good or bad. And if they're bad, I'll say, here's, maybe it didn't work in my industry, but it might work in your industry. Here's where I think I went wrong. And really just being a genuine person. There's so much fakeness, so much so many charlatans out there that just, they like to talk, but they don't have anything grounding them where the rubber hits the road, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. Thank you very much for these introductions. Now we know more about today's top player, Vance. And now let's go into the game, into the discussion. We want to discuss about the Disney magic, and you are going to share some lessons with us. First of all, I think the question that you are already answered thousands or millions of times. Everybody speaks about this Disney magic, this Disney golden standard. It's the golden standard for customer experience. Can you explain why, and perhaps together with the story?
Sure. I think a lot of it is the culture, and it started with Walt Disney. He wanted the theme parks to be an extension of his living room where, you know, you invite people over. Well, you're going to probably vacuum and dust before you have guests over. You're probably going to have food that smells good and is appetizing. You may even have entertainment. And if you have entertainment, it should probably be top notch. And so Disney did that in everything that he did, you know, and he was fanatical about his attention to detail, which is really the thing. I mean, attention to detail creates the magic. So if you think of a Disney theme park and how clean it is, well, it's not magic. There's actually people out there doing the cleaning. But what they know is that their mission is bigger than their job. So it might be my job to sweep the streets, but my mission is to make people happy. And so many businesses have and I'm not talking about a mission statement, because most businesses, if they have one, they don't know what it is. The employees certainly don't know. But a mission is something that everybody can rally around. Any minimum wage employee can understand it. So, you know, for the example, you know, with their street sweeper, you know, his mission's to clean, or job is to clean, his mission is to make people happy. That's how, you know, when you see a small child and they're licking the ice cream cone on a hot day, and then the ice cream goes plump into the street. And I mean, seemingly out of nowhere comes a janitor with a new ice cream cone to give to the small girl before she starts crying, cleans up the other one because he knew his mission was to create happiness and his job was to clean. And so that's that mission you have to have. And, you know, people, oh, okay, well, that's nice. You know, how do I have a mission? One, talk to you employees. You know, what do we really sell around here? You know, I have a bunch of dentists and orthodontists as clients. And a lot of them, while they are selling straightening the teeth and making the smile look nice, they're really selling confidence. So if you're a salesperson and you don't smile because you have crooked teeth, well, if you go to the orthodontist, yes, he's straightening your teeth, but he's really selling you confidence. You know, in our carpet cleaning world, we create healthy homes. Now we do it by cleaning, but healthy homes is the mission that all of my guys can wrap their head around. So it really starts with that culture of excellence, that culture of attention to detail that's really going to, it may not spark the magic, but it's definitely going to keep the magic going.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing this example. And I really like that we started the discussion speaking about culture as one of the most important or the most important ingredient in customer experience. And we are not speaking yet about artificial intelligence, because right, Everybody speaks about technology. And as you're saying, everything starts with the culture within a company. Perhaps also thinking about that, what are top principles that business can adapt? You mentioned that you adapted a lot of principles to the carpet cleaning and all other business that can adapt from Disney. And perhaps also thinking about smaller companies that don't have big budgets.
Sure. You know, I think one of the ideas that any company can adapt from Disney is this idea of a performance. So if you think of Disney, and we'll go, so Disney doesn't have employees, it has cast members. And these cast members don't work, they perform, and they don't go to a place of employment, they perform on stage. So if you follow the whole thing, Disney has cast members performing a role on stage. So if you think of yourself as on stage, I mean, if you went to see Wicked or Hamilton on Broadway, and the lead actor was just having a bad day, had a fight with his girlfriend, whatever it was, and just gave a miserable performance, well, there'd be 1,000 people asking for their money back because this wasn't good. Well, same thing with your business is how can you turn what you do into a performance for your customers or clients? How you answer the telephone, you know, does Marge, your front desk person, you know, answer the telephone the same way at 4 p.m. as she does at 8 a.m.? And why doesn't she if she doesn't? You know, is Marge tired or she needs coffee or what? But why should a client who's calling at a couple minutes before closing get any worse of an experience just based on the time that they're calling? So Marge has to understand she's a performer in a role in my show. I'll give you a real quick example. So one of the things in our carpet cleaning business that my guys have to do is get into the home. So we have scripted an entire performance of getting into the home, and it goes something like this. So we park in the street. We don't park in the driveway because if I've got an oil leak, I got something else I need to clean up. He gets out of the van in a clean, crisp uniform because he carries extra uniforms with him in case he gets dirty. He goes up to the house and he lays down a special mat. He's got a little gift with him and he knocks on the door. He doesn't ring the bell because salespeople ring and friends knock. Takes a couple steps back and waits for the customer to answer the door. Says, "Hi, my name's Josh. I'm here to create your healthy home. May I come in?" We don't just barge in. We ask to be allowed in. When we get invited in, he does an exaggeration of wiping his feet on that mat, and then he puts little booties onto his clean shoes and then walks inside. So that is performing, okay? Yes, it's your job and you need to perform it every day, but when you get into that mindset of performance, it really turns everything around. It really does.
Thank you. Thank you for this example. And we really love this example. And I know that the audience also enjoy this example because these are the moments that people can remember and will explain. And therefore, perhaps I'm asking also to you, you were also a cast member, you were also on stage. And therefore, which is the most remarkable moment that you remember with your career with Disney?
So that was when we opened up a restaurant called Chef Mickey's, which was a character dining destination. So if you've never been there, if you go to the theme parks, you have to wait in line in the hot sun to get an autograph from one of your favorite characters, Cinderella or Mickey Mouse. And you can get it. I mean, it's included with the price of the ticket. But with the character dining, you're paying a premium, but you're sitting down, you're having a meal, and instead of you waiting in line for the characters come to you and do the autographs and the pictures. So you're having a nice meal and then Goofy and Donald come over and, you know, it's all play. It was an incredible experience doing that because one, we started it from scratch. So we built the systems, the entertainment systems, the food delivery processes, everything was designed from scratch. And I was fortunate enough to be on that design team and then operated Chef Mickey's for a number of years. So just absolutely brilliant. I don't have enough good things to say about that experience. I mean, it was just fantastic.
And I think this is a great example how you transform a product or a service into an experience. How can businesses turn their products or services into this immersive experience and ensuring that they are different from the others?
You know, I think what a lot of business owners are afraid of is allowing their personality to come through in their business. They want to look corporate or they want to look professional, so they don't talk about their family. They don't talk about their hobbies. And really, at the end of the day, that's what makes the business unique is the owner. And I mean, a dentist is a dentist is a dentist, right? I mean, there's only so many ways to clean teeth. What separates one dentist from another? And that's the in-office experience. So, I mean, if your dentist is, you know, is a former, played in a band, paying for college, played in a rock band, and, you know, he's got, you know, a couple pictures of him inside the office, he could take that a little bit further and become the rock and roll dentist. I mean, he could wear, you know, a backwards baseball hat and, you know, cutoffs and, you know, make it and really do his lobby like he was, you know, maybe backstage or something. Maybe a few more pictures of, you know, other rock bands and things like that. Really immerse people in what you do, in your personality. Because, I mean, that's what Disney was. It's Walt's personality for the entire world to see. You know, in my coaching business, I mean, what you see right now is what you get. I mean, I have a warped sense of humor, fairly sarcastic, and no BS. And that's what attracts people to me, is that they know this is the real Vance. You ask my wife, you know, how I, you know, if I talk differently now than I do with her at dinner, and it's the same. I'm surprised she stayed with me this long, but it really is. It's getting your personality. I mean, it's the only thing that separates you. And maybe not, you know, well, I'll give you an example. So one of the things that I use in both of my businesses is that I have a newsletter that I send out every month in the mail. So a real paper and ink newsletter. And I shamelessly use my children in the newsletter. So my daughter, who's now 17, used to do ballet when she was young. And so I would go and I would take a picture of her at her recital. And then I would put a picture, the recital picture, in my newsletter. And, you know, and every year, you know, she would get bigger and bigger and bigger as each newsletter went on. We were grocery shopping once, and this lady came up to us in the middle of the grocery store, didn't even come up to me, came up to my daughter and said, "Oh my God, Emma, how was your recital?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, you know, who's this crazy lady? Let's go hide." And I had to think about it. I'm like, she must be one of my clients. She has watched my daughter grow up. My kids have thousands of aunts and uncles. And the key thing about doing this is, and I don't want anybody to miss the point, is that you're creating an emotional engagement, an emotional connection with your customer. And that is what's going to keep them around year after year after year. That's what Disney does so well. They create emotional connections with their guests so that they, A, are out there doing the referrals, doing the word of mouth, posting on social media, just talking, "Oh my God, Disney this, Disney that." Well, why isn't the same thing happening in your business? And so being able to create those emotional connections means that they're not going anywhere. They're not going to leave you. You can even make big mistakes and they're going to forgive you more than if they didn't have that emotional connection. So I think that's really the important thing that a lot of business owners miss is, go ahead and have that connection, because that's what's going to keep people with your business.
And I think it needs creativity. It needs a lot of setting that up and creating that, but it brings also a return. And I know that you are also explaining to your customer the importance of the return on the experience. You have this system to transform the business. Could you please share a bit about that?
Sure. So the system really is looking at the entire customer journey. So what is the first point that a prospect has with your company? So what's the first interaction point? Is it the website? Is it a phone call? Is it a postcard in the mail? And then mapping out every single touch point where a customer interacts with your business. And this works both online and offline. It doesn't matter. And then you take a look at each one of those touch points and you ask yourself, well, how can we make that better? And so you brainstorm. So let's say it's answering the telephone and you say, you know, so to me with marketing, your marketing is designed to do two things: attract the people you want to do business with and repel people you don't want. So a lot of times just by answering the phone a certain way, you can sift, sort, and screen out people that just wouldn't be good clients for you. So a great example of it. So I have actually an insurance agent who is a rock and roll fanatic. I mean, he has gold records on the wall, autographed guitars. I mean, he's just crazy about it. And he used to answer the phone, "Thank you for calling Dave's Insurance. How can I help you?" Now, we've heard that from umpteen thousand businesses. So he got with his team, says, "Look, we really need to make a first impression. We got to make a great impression. You know, we want to get the people that just, they're not stuffy, they're fun, because they're going to make great clients. We'll be able to enjoy it." So they brainstormed a bit, and actually one of the employees came up with how they now answer the phone. And instead of the boring, you know, thank you for calling Dave's Insurance, how can I help you? They now answer the phone, thank you for calling Dave's Insurance, the agency that rocks. Now, it sounds a little corny or a little weird, but after you say it 1,100 times, it just blends in with everything. But by answering the phone that way, he's attracting people that are going to love doing business with him, and he's sifting, sorting, and screening out people that would be a lousy client. So you go through each one of those touch points, and you figure out, how do you make it better? So for my consulting business, if you ordered my book, you can order it on Amazon, but you can get it free from me. So don't give Jeff Bezos any more money. So if you order my book, you know, I used to just send it out in brown cardboard box. And then I'm like, well, I'm the experience guy. I should probably do something a little better. So I created a personal specialized box to deliver my book in. And I'm like, all right, 6 months later, I'm like, all right, well, how do I make this better? Well, it's kind of a workbook. Maybe I should put a pen in there. Okay, great. So now I got a pen in there. And then, you know, 6 months later, well, it's a book. It should probably have a bookmark. So I put a bookmark in there. So now I got the box, I got the pen, I got the bookmark. I'm like, oh, well, they've got my book. I should say thank you. So now there's a thank you letter in with the book. And I'm like, well, I'm sending this whole box of stuff. I might as well put a sales letter and try and sell something. So now there's a sales letter in there. And so it was all small iterations, all small improvements to get to what I have now. But now it is instead of opening up an Amazon envelope or box, which is very boring, now you have an experience in the box. And so you open the box and you're like, oh my gosh, it's a personalized box. And I've written a nice note on the front of it. And they pull the book out. Nope, there's the pen. And, you know, so looking at all of your interactions and just ask yourself, how do we make this better?
And now I need to say that I'm super sorry, but to the audience, please post it podcast, go to Vance web shop and buy or get the book, and then you will.
Well, the book's free.
I know, but order the book and you will get a special experience. Thank you very much for that. One question that I have, and I think it's also extremely important, among the listeners, we have also several leaders. What is the best advice that you can give to them to start creating these Disney-like experiences?
Well, first is to make sure that your employees are having a great experience. And that's what Disney focuses on, really on the employee experience. Because they know if an employee is not having a good experience, there is no way they can deliver a great experience to your customers. They just can't. So you have to focus on their on what's happening with your employees. Now, does that mean you have to give them everything they want? No. But, you know, is it their birthday? Do you say happy birthday? Do you give them a card? Do you give them a balloon? You know, is it National Secretaries Week? Did you bring in some flowers for your secretary? You know, it's the little things. And then having clear expectations and having everything mapped out. So like the performance I mentioned with getting into the home with my carpet guys, it's all completely scripted out. It's in writing. They know exactly what to expect. So there's no questioning. There's no issues about what I expect from the employees. And I think a lot of leaders, sometimes they feel like they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I get that. But at the same time, you have to be firm. So I think a lot of leaders really having the employees have a good experience, but also having the employees engaged in the business. And by that, I mean, how do you get them involved in the decision-making? A lot of times the employees are going to have better ideas than you will on how to do a particular thing because they do it day in and day out. And that's what Disney relies on is getting employees to come up with the solutions to problems. And so, and my phone answering example with the insurance guy, an employee came up with that idea because they were sitting in a meeting. And they were brainstorming on how to answer the phone. And this lady is the one who said it. So it wasn't even the owner. It was an employee. So finding ways to get your employees engaged, especially, I mean, you have to give them guardrails, you know, guidelines. You don't want them going everywhere. But once you set those guidelines and say, okay, here's what we need to do. How should we do it? And then how do we make it better? And then 6 months later, how do we make it better again? And when you have that continuous improvement, Walt Disney called it plussing. He always wanted to plus the show. So if you have that constant improvement, that constant plussing, you're never sitting back on your laurels and resting. You're constantly moving forward. And I think that's where the truly great companies, I mean, if you look at, you know, at least in the U.S., you know, Chick-fil-A, even though it's fast food, still got an incredible experience. Harley Davidson, Ritz-Carlton, you know, these are all iconic experience-driven companies. And if you look at the employees of any of these companies, they're fully immersed in their culture and they seem to be fully engaged in the business.
Vance, thank you very much for these great insights. We are coming to an end of this discussion, of this game, of this magic game. And in the extra time, I still have three questions for you. Fast forward, in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Sadly, we're probably talking about the same thing. And I hate to say it, it's just that it's going to be another generation. I mean, I talk to people about this kind of stuff all the time, and you'd think it was the first time they ever heard about it. And, well, geez, Disney has been around for 70, 80, 90 years. It's not new. So that's what worries me, is that we're going to be talking about the same thing in 10 years. I hope we're not. But, you know, as businesses mature, you know, the problems change. And so hopefully in 10 years, you know, we're still asking ourselves, how do we make it better? What can we do to plus our show?
Thank you. What's the best way to contact you?
Best bet is through my website, which is deliverservicenow.com. Yes, you can get the book there. But there's a lot of good information there, some free downloads that you can use that you can start. Don't even need me. You can just start downloading a couple of things and implementing them right away.
Thank you. And the last question is, Vance, golden nugget, it's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience with?
Well, as I tell my coaching members, you all have enough information, not enough implementation. So what I would say, and what my only phrase that I have in my entire business is, you won't profit unless you implement. So if you just listen to this podcast and say, oh, that was nice, you know, they had a great time, got a couple of laughs. Okay, fine. Well, that was 32 minutes of your life. Or are you going to take one of the nuggets that you heard that really resonated with you, and you're going to take it back to the office tomorrow morning and say, you know what, guys, this is what we need to do. We need to implement something. Because without implementation, you're not going to move forward.
Vance, thank you very much for your time. I learned from you. You are plusing my podcast, and therefore it was a great experience. Please stay with me for the backstage discussion. Now we are still on stage to the audience. And I want to say thank you very much to Vance. Thank you very much to you for listening to this podcast, to this episode. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me or to contact Vance directly. Please go to his website, read his book, because he's doing really a great job to create magic for our customer. Thank you very much and bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business, we are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you!